Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Bending the Narrative here on the Aspect Network. I'm one of your hosts, Alex Batts, and joining me every week to discuss the latest and greatest in the world of Avatar, The Last Airbender, is Kate Kronquist. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Alex. Thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. Excited to, dive into this, talk about Avatar and stuff. So to kick off this episode zero, we wanted to share a little bit about ourselves, the show, and this network as a whole. So The Aspect is a media production company with a focus on pop culture, podcasts, and social media content. Over the next couple of weeks, you'll see more shows like ours begin to drop here on our podcast feed, YouTube channel, and social medias.
As for our show, Bending the Narrative, we are your one-stop shop for all things in the world of Avatar, The Last Airbender. In this podcast, we're going to be rewatching the series with weekly episodes diving into all of your favorite episodes with Team Avatar and a particular focus on the narrative structure of the series. So we'll be discussing characters, their arcs, motivations, and diving deep into how masterfully crafted this show is. Episode one will drop this Monday with our full review of the live action adaptation of the series.
Very, very excited for that. It's going to be fun. But so let's kick off this episode by discussing our own background with the series and how we kind of became fans of the world of Avatar. So Kate, how did you find this show? What's your kind of history with it?
Well, I was watching it when it was airing, but I was a little too young to really get into it. And later in high school, a friend of mine, Danae, shout out if you're watching, she reintroduced me to it, and I rewatched the series and was like, oh yeah, this is really good. One of the best things I've ever seen. And it kind of reawakened me, I guess, and got me interested in a whole new genre of storytelling and into animation. And so I got really into other types of stories than Western media, I guess. That's why I really love Avatar. I think it's almost like 101 for introduction to the outside world.
Yeah, it's a big, I feel like, gateway to a lot of other stuff and like a lot of exciting things. And you're like, oh, okay, well, I liked this a lot. And then you can see all these other things
it's a gateway drug.
And then also you can kind of see like what it pulled from and like their kind of influences. And so then it just like opens up a whole other world there, which is nice.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is your start with it?
Yeah, so I'm very late, actually. I did not, which is funny because I definitely could have watched it whenever it was airing. Like, I was at the age where it should have hit me, but I just
It was didn't. Your demographic, yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't a huge, like, Nickelodeon animated kid. So, like, I just didn't really, it wasn't on my radar that much. So I actually did not watch it until like a year and a half ago. Our producer, Sean, shout out Sean, actually was bugging me for years to start the show. He was like, dude, you'll love it. It's the best. I'm a big fan of Kylo Ren from Star Wars. And he was like, well, if you like Kylo, you'll love Zuko. I was like, all right. Mm-hmm. And so he was bugging me for the longest time to watch it. And they literally took him coming down to Texas, actually, and getting me to watch it to finish the show. But yeah, I watched it and like binged through basically the like book two and three. Cause like I'd watched the first book and like took a while to get through it. Right. But then like after a certain point, like it just picks up and you just,
it does start a little slow, but it gets
binged through all of that and just got absolutely hooked. And I was like, oh my God, this is my favorite thing ever probably. And like just dove headfirst into all of the lore and like getting really involved in it. And like, I love how many other things there are with it now too. Like we've got all of the like books and the comics and like things like that.
Yes.
Which is super fun. Have you read or like, explored some of those like other tertiary stuff, like the comics and books?
Yes. I've read the ones after the series. Mm-hmm. I did not read the ones before the series about Kyoshi, right?
Yeah.
I haven't read those ones. I heard they're so good, and I really want to read those next.
Honestly, like, which I feel like it's kind of like almost like blasphemous to say that you like something that's not like the show more than the show thing, but like the Kyoshi books are probably my favorite like thing to come out of the Avatar universe. Like they're just so
That's really good to hear.
They're so good. I love them so much. But yeah, I mean, like it's all just super interesting. I think one of my favorite things about it is as a franchise or like as a universe is the whole like world that they created. Like I'm a big fan of world building
and I feel like it's all
like so well thought out. And so it's really simple
Yes.
And that makes it like so easy to get into. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. Like,
it's simple, but you could do so much with it. And I think that's the great, it doesn't distract from the story, but it lets the story live and it lets it breathe and grow. And it's, there's never too much focus on the world. It's nice and simple to explain. So we can focus on what happens with that. And it's really cool how much you can do with that and how many other stories you can make with that.
Yeah,
and I think even with the same theme.
Yeah, they like, and it has a very ingenious built-in hook to like tell new stories while being similar in the fact that like the Avatar cycles through the different like nations, and so like it'll be very different like each time, like where they're coming from and like what, you know, nation is like pivoting for that and those kinds of things. And so like that makes it fresh each time, but it's still the same central, like
it's very still simple connects.
Like premise, and you're like, okay, I get it, and it gives it a nice through line. It's just like it's very exciting,
which I love. It's kind of different. It reminds me of Star Wars, but I think, I know you're probably going to attack me and other people, I think it works in this way because you have the Avatar through line. You can connect every story throughout time to the same theme, and that's kind of hard with Star Wars because everything's, you know, Jedi, Sith, all of this. But they're all different ones. It's kind of spread out, you know, there's no,
yeah, there's not one central, like,
if, correct me if I'm wrong, but
yeah, it's a different type of like through line because it
through
is
line, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very like, it's a very it's a much more direct one with like the Avatar thing than it is like a Jedi or Sith thing where you have like, I also feel like they're on a completely different like time scale.
They're running,
you
know, yeah.
Like, but no, it's true.
It's similar. It reminds me of that.
Yeah, it's got a similar vein. And I mean, also just like the simplicity, that intro, like you get everything you need to know in like what, like 45 seconds, like 30, 45
seconds, all you need to know.
Right. Like that's the show. And you're like, oh, okay, this is it. And it's because like it had to be like, obviously it was a kid's cartoon. Right. So like it's supposed to be approachable and digestible for kids. So like, that's why it makes sense like that. But they just do so much with it. And it's very exciting. Whenever we come back, we're going to dive into Avatar's history with live action adaptations and our feelings about the upcoming Netflix series and kind of the reviews and reactions to that thus far. Welcome back to Bending the Narrative. It's no secret that the Avatar series has had its share of woes when it comes to live action adaptations, but early reviews so far for the Netflix one have kind of praised it. So Kate, I would love to start with you. What is your experience with the previous adaptations of the series and how are you feeling going into the Netflix one?
Well, I did a long time ago, tried to get through the M. Night version. I didn't get through it. I couldn't. Not good. And I'm hesitant, but I'm intrigued with the new Netflix adaptation. I think I just have a thing against any animation adaptation because I think when you adapt anything that's animated into live action, you're already taking away like a big chunk of what makes it great.
Yeah.
So I'm hesitant to see what they do with this. Maybe if they approach it, they say they're trying to do something new with it, approaching it in a new way, but we'll see. I'm intrigued, but I don't know.
Not like sold. Yeah.
Not sold.
So
I was okay with the One Piece one, but.
Yeah, that's a whole, I don't, I know.
That's a whole different.
I know a lot of people were not happy with that. And I was like, oh, I just saw
it was just clips fun.
And stuff. It was fun. That's good.
It was fun. That's, I mean, I think the best you could like do with that.
I feel like that's a win, like it being fun, not terrible. That's good. I haven't seen the M. Night movie because I didn't get into all of this until super recently. And all that I had ever heard was that the movie is terrible. So I was like, well, I'll avoid exposing myself to that. I don't really need that. But I very much agree with you about the animation to live action like pipeline and that you just lose so much the like character and personality, and also just from a budgetary standpoint, you can do anything in animation because you're drawing it, right? live action, it's a lot more difficult to recreate the same feeling and the same look and that kind of stuff. And then also, like, part of the charm of the show is how the animation looks. And you're inherently going to be losing that whenever you go to live action. I'm glad that the reactions, like, I've seen mostly positive reactions from people who have seen the show so far. Like, they're saying that it's pretty good. Which is exciting. Like, I hope that it's really good. I don't want it to be bad. I just have not had the most faith in all of the clips and stuff that we've seen so far. Also,
it all looks a little slow. You know, like, the action can sometimes be slow, but it just doesn't look right. Whatever.
I will see. We'll see. It looks like a Netflix adaptation for sure.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad the reactions are good. The clips I've seen, though, have just left me a little like, oh, okay, we'll see. I think that the fully, like, CG shots look fantastic. Like, whenever there's no, like,
actual, when it's animation.
Like, yeah, exactly.
When, like, it's animation, it looks fully good.
Huh. Yeah, it looks amazing. But whenever they are, like, mixing them, I'm like, I don't really know how this is going. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see for sure. It's one of those things where also I think, and this is, I know, where a lot of people kind of, like, jumped ship whenever, like, the main creators, they were attached to the Netflix adaptation.
Yes.
And then they left because of creative differences, which is not the biggest, you know,
vote. It's not a good thing to hear.
Yeah. For the adaptation. So,
because they're very good on staying true to original content, and they were pioneers of their time. I feel like they were very ahead of the time on, I'd say, what, like, cultural appropriation. Like, I feel like they were this is kind of one of the first forms of American media that I think I've seen that say they honor it, and they do honor it. They do honor the originals. They do honor their source material instead of, like, steal it. Like, a lot of people say they honor things, but they steal it and they don't do their full research, and they just kind of use it and make fun of it. Yeah.
It'll be like surface level. It. They're like, well, I like the aesthetic of this a lot and I like the whatever, but they don't really, like, dig into and get into the reasons, like, why that thing works why that thing is the way that it is. And the show really did that, and it did that really well. Like, the fact that
being offensive and.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that all of the bending is different martial arts styles, and, like, there's a very specific thing for, like, each of them. It's just, like, one example of how much they, like, really went into it. And so, yeah, I think that the show definitely, the Netflix show definitely took a big hit whenever.
Took a big hit, if they're going, like, against that.
Yeah, and at first I was like, oh, well, I still have faith. But then we started getting more and more quotes from, like, the showrunners and stuff, like, the closer.
And they're like, oh, we're changing it. And a lot of, they're changing a lot of the character arcs, or they're not focusing on it as much, which everybody was like, oh, but we liked it because of the character arcs. So
yeah, I mean, that's a whole, like, getting in to kind of, like, bring it back to kind of, like, what this show is about, and even our title, like, bending the narrative. The reason that it is that is because we're so excited about getting into all of the narrative stuff with this show, like, all of the character arcs, all of the long-term narratives that they've got in there, and, like, how well all of those themes and the conflicts are handled and things like that. And so it'll be interesting to dive into it and see what those changes are and, like, how they work. But then beyond that, I'm incredibly excited to, like, of course, dive into the actual, like, the animated Avatar The Last Airbender, like,
the good meat,
proper animated. Yeah, I'm very excited for that.
It's juicy. It's a good, juicy steak. That's what I described the series as.
They should put that on the Blu-ray boxes.
On the Blu-ray box, a big, juicy steak.
Yeah, it's a full meal.
It's a full meal.
Yeah, so like we said earlier, our first full episode will be covering the entire live action series, because Netflix is dropping it all at once instead of weekly. So we figured it'd be smart to just go through and binge it and cover it in one full thing to get that out there for you guys. And then from there, we'll go and do episode by episode of the animated series. So we'll probably combine the, like, parts one and two whenever we get to those of certain episodes, and do one podcast episode for those episodes. But besides that, we'll be going through and doing episode to episode on that. And I'm super excited. I can't wait to, like, have the time and to dive into all of those and really explore, like, why we love them so much and why it's still got such a, like, strong fan base, like, all these years later, like it's been so long since the series originally aired, and there are more fans than ever, and everyone's so passionate about it. Like, it's amazing.
It's, I just want to geek out about it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I can't wait. So I think that like pretty much brings us to the end of our episode zero. Thank you everyone so much for tuning in to Bending the Narrative. Kate, where can people find you at online?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at Kate the Official.
Such a good ad. That's incredible.
Love it.
and you can find me online at AP Batman with two T's, whatever social exists, I'm probably on there. And then also be sure to follow us on Twitter and X and Instagram and TikTok at The Aspect Co. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel and subscribe. Hit that notification bell. Give us a like. Mm-hmm. You know, it helps. It helps a lot. And
subscribe,
you can also find
comment.
Yeah, all that good stuff. And you can also find us wherever podcasts can be found, and you can listen whichever is your preferred. We're there. So yeah, thank you so much for listening.
And flameo, hot man.